Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read two verses together, reading from the King James Bible, Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. And when you find it, let's stand together in honor of the King James Bible, the Word of God, and let's read together in unison, shall we? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want you to look at verse number 6, the last four words, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for church this morning. And thank you, Lord, for this book. I thank you for the Word of God that you have given to us, preserved, inspired, so that we could read it 2017, Resurrection morning. Not just this morning, but every morning. I just thank you, dear God, that you have allowed us to be saved, allowed us to partake of your mercy. I thank you, dear God, for drawing us, for breaking our hearts, convicting us, and saving our souls. And I pray for those who are not saved, dear God, I pray that they'll be saved. I pray, Lord, those who are outside the salvation of Jesus Christ, I pray that you convict them of their sin and let them see their need of salvation before they die and end up in hell for all eternity. Dear God, please bless this morning. Bless these dear folks. The junior church upstairs, the nursery, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated, please. This verse, these two verses here, are part of Handel's Messiah that you probably have listened to and probably hear just around every Christmas time. It's a great song. I love the music, to be honest with you. I listen to it all the time, especially around Christmas time, but even during the rest of the year, Handel's Messiah is just a great, great masterpiece of music. And they quote these verses, unto us a child is born, you know the verse. And we usually associate these verses with Christmas time where Jesus is born in a manger. But look what it says. His name shall be called Wonderful, that's capital W, Counselor, capital C, the Mighty God. I always show this verse, so Jehovah's Witness, a Jehovah's false witness when I'm out and about witnessing for Jesus Christ, where I meet a Jehovah's false witness because they don't believe that Jesus is God. This verse here, and in addition to Revelation chapter 1, says that he's the Almighty God. It goes on, the Everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is named the Everlasting Father. Well, Pastor, I thought he was the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Either is. But they're so intertwined, these three are a union of one, that no mortal man can comprehend it except by faith we believe exactly what God has said here. So the same Son of God is the same Father, the same God, the same Creator, that Colossians 1 says, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends his verse, the Prince of Peace. And that's what's missing today, ladies and gentlemen, peace. What's missing today is the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of people. And what's wrong with society, what's wrong, I'm telling you right now, the vast majority of problems in your life stem from no peace. You've seen that phrase on bumper stickers, on placards, you know, no Jesus, no peace. Well, that's a true statement, by the way. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have peace. You have fabricated peace. You have a fake peace. You have a faux peace. You have a peace that just is only temporary. It's not even a peace, but you may have a little bit of quiet or serenity maybe, but it's not godly peace. It's not Christian peace. It's not peace from Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ can supply peace, as we're about to read and hear this morning. But here's another interesting thing. You know, just like God has given us a love that we never had from salvation, at salvation, God has given us a love that is expounding, and it's multiplying, it's manifold. And you can love now people that you never were able to love before, because now God loved you before you loved him, and now you have the love of God that, you know, that you never had before. You can't understand it because it's the love of God, that you can now forgive people, be merciful to the unmerciful. You can love the unlovable. The same thing is true with peace. Look at verse number 7 here. We talk about his government, that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ and all into eternity, of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. That means his peace is limitless. You will never be able to reach the end of how much peace the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. That means you can always increase in your love for God and others, and you can always increase in the peace that God can give you. You say, I'll never be able to get over something. Oh, yeah, if you fall in love with Jesus, you will be able to. I'll never be able to deal with so-and-so. Oh, yes, you can if you allow yourself to fall in love more and more with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. He's the one you go to for peace. The biggest root problem in our world today is a lack of genuine peace. Genuine peace in the hearts that only Jesus can provide. The biggest reason why people are having emotional problems, relationship problems, marriage problems, you think it's money, you think it's in-laws, you think it's the kids, you think it's something else. I'm telling you, the root problem is there's not a peace in your heart that passeth understanding. And if you had a peace in your heart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be shocked how much better everything else in life would go, and you'd be at peace with even your enemies, the Bible says. The biggest reason why people are agitated and angry so often at the littlest, stupidest things is due to a lack of peace in their hearts. The biggest reason why people argue uncontrollably with others is due to a lack of peace in their heart. The reason why people are overly critical and overly judgmental is due to a lack of peace. The reason they're jealous and envious at others is due to a lack of peace in their own heart. The reason why people hate and despise others is there's a lack of peace in their heart. The reason why people spew so much vitriol and rage at others is due to a lack of peace. The reason why people take out their frustrations and wrath on inanimate objects is there's a lack of peace that's reigning and ruling in their hearts. The reason why people do not have self-control and always give in to temptation is only because of a lack of peace that reigns and rules in your heart. The reason why nations and religions and ethnicities go to war against each other, I'm telling you right now, is because there's no peace in their heart. They're bloodthirsty. They're looking for war. They're looking for blood. There's no peace in their hearts. The reason why there will never be a permanent peace in the Middle East is because they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will not be a lasting peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace sits on his throne in Jerusalem. Now think about this for a little bit, please. History lesson. The United States of America and all of North America, really, you can clump them almost together for what I'm saying here, was the first land in the history of the world that was founded on the conglomeration of different ethnicities from different countries. The Native Americans, the Indians here, for thousands of years, but they were butchering each other and fighting each other until the white man showed up. Then Leif Erikson, supposedly the first white person from Norway, landed on Newfoundland somewhere around the 11th century. Christopher Columbus, go look on YouTube and find out that Christopher Columbus was Greek, amen? Now you think I'm joking about that, but go ahead and look it up on YouTube. Just put Christopher Columbus, Greek, and YouTube, amen? But anyway, he was financed by Spain in 1492 and landed in the Caribbean islands. The English Henry Hudson, financed by the Dutch, discovered the Hudson River in April of 1609 and sailed up on his ship called the Half Moon and landed near Albany on 9/11/1609. The English Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock in 1620. They said, whoever does see statistics, that 1.6% of the population in colonial America was Catholic. 1.6%. By the way, that's why God blessed colonial America, ladies and gentlemen. The Catholic French settled in Canada and in New Orleans and northward that we eventually purchased as a Louisiana Purchase. Catholic Spain settled in Florida and Mexico. 20 Africans were brought to America through slavery starting in 1619 at Catholic Jamestown, Virginia. By 1680, 70,000 African slaves had been brought to these shores. By 1790, the number of African slaves went to 700,000. By the time of the war between the states, there were approximately 4 million Africans living in America. Between 1820 and 1930, around 4.5 million Catholic Irish came to America thanks to the potato famine in Ireland. During the 19th century, some 5 million Germans came to America, Lutheran, Anabaptist, Catholics, and they were mostly the farmers that moved out west and Midwest. The Amish were German descendants. In the 2000 census, more Americans claimed German ancestry than any other ethnicity. From the 1890s to 1920, around 4 million Italian Catholics came to America. From 1880 to 1920, around 2 million Jews came to America fleeing persecution. This land is a conglomeration, a melting pot of a whole bunch of different ethnicities from different countries. Mostly from Europe in times past. Now, a lot come from Asian countries, a lot come from South America now. The vast majority now do not come from Europe. They come from Africa and South America and Asia. But what I'm saying is it's a conglomeration of a lot of different ethnicities. And for those 400 to 500 years of being populated from different countries and different ethnicities and different nationalities, the only three major blights that I see as a major blight on the history of this land is the slave trade, the American Revolution as a war, and the war between the states in 1861 to 1865. Now, you think about that for over 400 to 500 years. That's not a bad track record. Where people in Europe have been fighting each other for thousands of years nonstop. Where people in Africa, the tribes in Africa, have been killing each other, eating each other as cannibals for thousands of years. Central America and South America, the same thing. Asia, the same thing. Territories, power, money, greed. And the only glue that has kept all these different nationalities and all these different ethnicities from all these different countries together as much as it was the common denominator, the factor of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. When that belief was taken out of our country, starting, I'll say, with 1961, 1962. You take the Bible out of public schools, government schools. You have children now who are being taught atheistic religions. You have children being taught nothing about Jesus Christ. And so what we have today is a society that grows up being void of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have families, we have nationalities, we have ethnicities that know nothing about God. And all these hatreds, these strifes that were from thousands of years ago in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, South America, that they were killing each other over, are now being surfaced up again because the love of Jesus Christ is not present in the homes and society of America today. So when people are saying, what's wrong with our country? What's going on? You say, well, it's the drugs. You say, well, it's the criminal activity. You say, well, it's these illegal aliens. You say, well, it's this. It's the police. It's the governors. It's the president. It's the politics. I'll tell you what it is. It's the lack of the Prince of Peace that's ruling in the hearts and minds of people all across this country. And when you take the Prince of Peace out, there's nothing but rebellion and rage and fighting and war and bloodshed continually. Just like people have fighting in their hearts and war in their hearts. And we are experiencing that today, ladies and gentlemen. We have lived in relative peace in this country because most of the people, in one way or another, have professed a belief in Jesus Christ, regardless of the denomination, regardless of the church affiliation. The reason we have a breakdown in America in people hating and fighting each other is because there is less and less of Jesus in the homes and churches and hearts and minds of people in this land. Less Bible reading, less church attendance, less mission work, less soul winning, less public officials proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thus, we have the rise of the Nazis, rise of the KKK, rise of Black Power and Black Lives Matter, Muslim fundamentalists, gangs and murders and rapes and thievery and cheating and stealing and public corruption, church corruption, queer rights and union fights, mafia control, drug dealers, drug pushers, drug users, Mexican smugglers, illegal immigrants, aliens breaking the law, the breakdown in society, little to no Bible preaching, little to no Bible teaching in churches, watered down lukewarm believers, non-King James Bible churches. Well, listen to me, no Jesus, no peace. I tell you, no King James Bible, no peace. Take your Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter number 6. I'm going to talk to you about the Prince of Peace this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16. You can't fall asleep because you don't have peace in your heart. So you take drugs from a doctor to prescribe you. Once you get two jobs, you'll be tired at the end of the day. You'll fall asleep. When you obey God, you'll get peace. Because righteousness hath kissed peace, the Bible says. Righteousness and peace have kissed. You can't have peace without righteousness. Impossible. John chapter 16. Verse number 33. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I'm telling you, this sounds callous, this sounds hard-hearted, you can call it anything you want. I could give a flip personally now. What happens in Syria, what happens in Korea, what happens in Iran, what happens in other parts of the world, because John Cleese is going to sleep like a baby tonight. As an ambassador of peace, the Bible says, I weep for those people because they don't have peace. But there's nothing in the world that can change the peace that I have that the Lord Jesus Christ can give me. Nothing. If you have the peace that passeth understanding, as the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, they can put you in jail and you'll still have peace. They can take you to the crucifixion and you can still sing about the Prince of Peace. There's a nursery upstairs for babies and toddlers. Let me tell you something. You blame everybody else and everything else in your life that gets you so upset. The problem is you don't have a control of your life because Jesus is in control of your life. So you blame your husband, you blame your wife, you blame your children, you blame your parents, you blame your neighbor, you blame the coworker, you blame the church, you blame the preacher, you blame the president, you blame the governor, you blame the mayor, you blame the councilman, you blame everybody because you refuse to have Jesus Christ rule and reign in your heart. Jesus said there's going to be tribulation in the world. He already told us that. Don't you believe what Jesus said? Take your Bible, please turn to Psalm 119. I'm sorry, we should have read. Let's go back to John 14. John 14, I apologize. We'll go there next. John 14. Before we leave John, I want to read this. John chapter 14. Verse number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now watch this. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the peace that Jesus gives us is not the peace of the world. The peace that Jesus gives us is an everlasting peace that increases more and more as time goes on. Amen. Do you have a peace that rules and reigns your heart? Even in your worst sorrow, even at the biggest disappointment in your life, when you're discouraged, when you hit the bottom and you're on your face and on your belly, in the midst of your tears, do you have a peace that passeth all understanding? Amen. Now let's go to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. I want you to read what God says here. Psalm 119. Talking about the Prince of Peace this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not this long-haired, hippie, weirdo, freak-looking that the Catholics paint, that Hollywood paints. No, no. The Bible says he's a man of war and a prince of peace. He's both of those things. Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Did you read that? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means if you say, Pastor, that was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life, I should be able to say, God bless you. I appreciate that. If you were to come up to me and say, Pastor, that's the ugliest face I've ever seen in my entire life, I'd agree with you. That's why I have a beard on, amen. If you were to say, Pastor, you're just too fat, and you don't know what you're talking about, and you're just stupid, and you should have never gone into being a pastor, and you call me a whole bunch of names and ridiculed me and mocked me and laughed at me, if this verse is true, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The reason you get ticked off, the reason you're offended all the time, the reason you fly off the handle all the time, listen to me good, is there's no peace in your heart. You're not in love with Jesus Christ. You're in love with yourself, and you're in love with the world. And as soon as something doesn't go right with you because you think you're God, when things are out of control outside your body, then you get ticked off and mad at everybody else because there's no peace in your raging heart because Jesus is not ruling there. The Prince of Peace. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 26, please. About three books later, Isaiah 26. Are you saved this morning? Are you a child of God? Hey, there's no better way to know what God says than to read it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The more you read the word of God, the more peace God gives in your heart. The less Bible you read. You know what? You think you're going to get peace by watching those video games, playing those video games, or watching those movies from Hollywood that make you cry and feel so good. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, and you cry. And I've seen this five times, but I like this part right here. But you never read the Bible. You never read God's word. So because you can't deal with having no peace in your heart, you go to drink, you go to drugs, you go to everything else to fill that void that's missing in your heart. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If your mind is on the Lord Jesus Christ, if your mind is on the word of God, he'll give you perfect peace. It's hard to understand this, but in the Hebrew, the two words there is peace, peace. It's the same exact word. There's two words together, peace, peace. In other words, increasing peace, perfect peace, a mature peace. That even if something happens in your life that you don't like, that's not good, you know what? The peace of God that passeth all understanding, the Bible says, will rule and reign in your heart. Look at Isaiah 32, please. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Watch this. Isaiah 32, verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Work of righteousness. Hey, come to church is a good work, don't you think? Don't you think? Getting baptized is a good work, don't you think? Being good, doing good, is a work of righteousness. Allowing God to change your life is a work of righteousness. Giving, tithing, helping, soul winning, being separate from the world, those are works of righteousness. You know what God says about the works of righteousness? Look what it says. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect, the end result now, watch this. And the effect of righteousness, watch this, quietness and assurance forever. You know, people are loud all the time, fly off the handle, curse, swear, stomp, like little five-year-old brats in a playground that lost their toy. I'm talking about adults. You know why they're like that? They don't do works of righteousness. They don't live for God. It's all about themselves. They think they're God. So they get mad at their husband. They get mad at their wife. They get mad at the whole world. For peace, I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now, if you're not saved, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell, you're so far from peace right now, man, you'll never know it. And that's why the thing in hell is, when you get to hell, there'll be no such thing as peace. There'll be total darkness. The flames of hell will be burning, torturing, pain forever. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says, and at least two or three places in the Bible, two places I know of. There's no peace to the wicked. Oh, you may think they're laughing and drinking it up, you know, living it up, having a great time, partying, man. You go ahead and search, do an internet search about the most famous comedians of all time and find out how depressed they are or how depressed they were. You think money will be the answer to your life. Go ahead and do another internet search for all the people who won the big lotteries and see how many millions they won and see how many people went to an early death or committed suicide because they thought money was the God. What people don't have is they don't have peace in their heart. And nobody can tame you except God. Man may be able to put you in bars and hold you like a caged animal. They might be able to put shackles on you to control you because you're an animal. You can't control yourself in society. But even in that caged environment, you can still have raging heart, fighting God. You know, we talk about road rage. People have God rage today. They hate God. Look, they're demonstrating across this country for no reason other because there's rage in their heart. I'm not against demonstrations if it's peaceful. But you know why everybody's breaking out in fights and stabbing people and killing people? There's no peace in their heart. I'm not against people redressing their government. I'm not against people peaceably assembling. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. We're peaceably assembling this morning. But when you have these people that are anarchists, that are out to destroy and rebel and just hurt people and kill people, all because they're mad. I was talking to an acquaintance of mine just about exactly 6 months ago. I said, look, I said, when Obama won, people went to work the next day and they accepted the fact that he won the election. These people who don't like Trump, and I don't like everything about him, but okay, you don't like him, well, go to work the next day. What, because your man didn't win, you're going to have a pity party now? And you're going to say, like, the former attorney general, there's going to be blood in the streets? Hey, there's war in their hearts. There's rebellion in their hearts. There's wrath in their hearts because there's no peace in their hearts. And so this society today, this nation today, I'm telling you, it's falling apart because we're getting further and further away from Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, there's the answer right there. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You're more interested in a peace treaty between two countries than there's peace in your heart. And these people will never have a lasting peace unless they get peace in their heart. So what's going to happen? We're going to go to war. All right, well, that's fine with me. I'm going to heaven, are you? I don't want them to go to war. I don't want them to drop bombs. All right. I'm not the president. He's not asking me for advice or counsel. I don't think he should have bombed Syria. But you think that's going to ruin the rest of my life? I'll pray for them, but what can I do? Thank God I'm saved. And thank God Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I have the Prince of Peace living inside of me. I remember when I was getting arrested for street preaching 28 years ago. And I went in front of the judge, and the judge said, he said, Reverend, you can't keep doing this. I said, yes, sir, I can. Oh, you think because jail's going to threaten me? Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to jail. How come the martyrs were able to sing going to their martyrdom, being burned at the stake? How could they sing being thrown into the lions and the Colosseum, gather together in a circle and sing praises to God because they're about to meet Jesus Christ, and you can't even be happy and content where you are in America? You got a full belly, clothes on your back, a roof on your head, nobody's persecuting you, and you're still miserable. You're lacking the Prince of Peace, I'm telling you. You're lacking fall in love with the Word of God that brings peace. Amen. Nothing will satisfy you. Nothing will make you happy unless you get the Prince of Peace ruling and reigning in your heart and you surrender and you yield completely to Him. Amen. My Bible says in Hebrews 12, follow peace with all men. All men. Romans 12, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All right, so you don't like your next door neighbor, but you can live peaceably if you're right with God. You may not agree with him. You may not like him. But if you're right with God, you can live peaceably. But you argue with everybody. Isaiah 48. Let's go there, please. Isaiah 48. It's not complicated. Obedience brings peace. The work of righteousness brings peace. Obeying the commandments of God brings peace. You know what? It's the ones that bother you the most that you got problems with. All of us have problems with some of the commandments because all of us have weaknesses. Well, those are the ones we ought to work on, ladies and gentlemen. And it's hard sometimes to yield. It's hard sometimes to surrender. But I'm telling you, if you want peace in your heart, you better surrender to God. Isaiah 48, verse number 18. Oh, God speaking, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, exclamation point. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You know that song sing in Sunday schools? I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. Hey, do you have peace like that? Or you have a hurricane all the time in your heart. You have an earthquake all the time in your heart. You have a whirlwind all the time in your heart. You have no peace at all. You can't sleep. You can't think. You can't live by yourself. You can't be by yourself. You have to have the television on, the radio on, the laptop on, the cell phone on. You can't be by yourself because there's no peace there. You want to occupy yourself with some other stuff because there's no peace. It's absent. And that's why your life is messed up, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, peace comes through faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? James chapter 4 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. 1 Peter 2 says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Hey, the problem is you and I. Not the outside circumstance, it's the inside. We're at war with God. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, please. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're about to close. It's not going to be very long. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. That at that time you were without Christ. Remember you're lost on your way to hell? Huh? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us and God. There was a partition. It was called sin. And we couldn't get to God. And the only one who could take that partition wall away was the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sins on his body and paid for the payment of our sins. And now, Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is available to everyone who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hey, you can come walk in this morning with a troubled heart and troubled mind, but you can walk out with peace of mind. No prescription needed. No doctor's note needed. No hospital visit. No psychiatric visit. You can come in with a troubled heart, troubled life, and walk out with a peace of mind that you never had before. Just surrender and yield to God. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. It's not difficult. I got news for you. That alcohol that you're drinking will never give you peace. It'll ruin your life. Those drugs you're taking will never give you peace. It'll ruin your life. You mark my words. You mark my words. You mark my words. Hey, that lustful life you're living against God, rebelling God, will never give you peace. Verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Today, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, he offers peace to you. But you have to come to God on his terms. And you that were the enemy need to surrender for the peace compact to be fulfilled. You can't fight with God. You have to surrender and say, I give up. God, you win, I lose. That's how you have a lasting peace, whether it's wars on earth or whether it's the war between you and God. Until you do that, you're going to be fighting God for the rest of your life. And the results are not going to be good. You want the end result of the work of righteousness, which is quietness and peace that passeth all understanding. And only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can give you that peace. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for that day I surrendered and I yielded to you, the Prince of Peace. I thank you, dear God, that I put aside my pride, the chip on my shoulder, the raging heart that I had, and I surrendered and I yielded and I gave up. And I want to thank you, dear God, for these last 30-some years, for that peace that can pass all understanding, that nobody understands, that even in times of trial and tribulation, heartaches, disappointments, betrayal, that, Lord, your peace has ruled and reigned, even intermingled with my sins and my faults and my errors. I thank you, dear God, that you have given and are available to all of us that peace that all of us can have that passeth all understanding. My prayer this morning, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they come to the Prince of Peace this morning and trust you this morning. My prayer is, dear God, that if anybody in this room is not baptized, they'll come and get baptized this morning. My prayer is, dear God, if there's anybody in this room, they're saved, they've been baptized, but they've been fighting you. They have not surrendered completely, totally yielded to thee. Oh, dear God, may today be their first day where the peace, your peace, will reign and rule in their hearts and in their minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business. God's people praying.